Welcome to Bonding, a kinky podcast hosted by me, Sarah Butcher, aka Sub in the City. I'm a BDSM coach, kink educator, and proudly collared submissive, with over a decade of experience on the BDSM scene. I'm on a mission to bring BDSM into the 21st century and empower curious kinksters like yourselves to consciously explore what BDSM means to you. In this podcast, you'll hear me talk about all things kink. So whether you're new to the scene or you're a long-standing member of the community, welcome kinksters. I'm looking forward to bonding with you. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Bonding. I am your host, Sarah Butcher, aka Sub in the City, and today we're delving into the fascinating world of collaring and its significance within the realm of BDSM. Now, this is a topic that I've had a lot of inquiries about, a lot of questions about, so I really wanted to take some time today to really break it down for you. So, within BDSM, collars are more than just fashion accessories. They can be symbolic, practical, and sometimes decorative items that individuals wear typically around their neck to signify their role within power play dynamics. Now, collars have a rich history, often intertwined with the LGBTQ+ community and alternative subcultures. However, they are most commonly associated within the world of BDSM. And so in this episode, I'm going to break down the why and the how of collars within BDSM to help you better understand this aspect of the lifestyle. And I'll even give you some insight into the collars that I wear and I own and some recommendations of some that you can also buy. So who might use a collar and why? Well, collars are typically exchanged between a dominant and a submissive, although switches who transition between dom and sub roles may also wear collars when they're subbing. And there are various collar styles to suit different dom and sub dynamics. For instance, if you're in a master-slave dynamic, you might find training and posture collars more appropriate. Whereas if you're in an owner and a pet relationship, that could involve collars with bells or tags. Some subs, who may not have a partner or may just be exploring BDSM solo at that time, may even choose to self-collar to find personal meaning in that experience. It's important to note that subs are not limited to just one collar either, and I'll be going through the different ones in this episode, but they may wear different ones depending on the context, depending on their partner, depending on the type of scene you're engaged in, so you can shop around for different styles suited to your dynamic and lifestyle. But I guess the main question is, why do we use collars within BDSM? And there are three different reasons why we might do so. So the first one is symbolism, the second one is practicality, and the third one is purely for decoration. So symbolically, collars represent the power dynamic between the dom and the sub. They signify ownership, commitment, and the unique connection between partners. In non-sexual BDSM spaces, subs might wear collars to signal to others in the community that they are taken or engaged in a power dynamic, which can help deter unwanted attention from other doms or, you know, essentially like people chatting you up. It's like wearing an engagement ring so that people know that you're taken. Collars can also be worn publicly to demonstrate a sub's full-time commitment to their dom. It might also symbolise chastity, or even serve as a form of public humiliation. And again, this all depends on the context. You know, where are you? Are you at a play party? Are you out, you know, on a vanilla day out? It really depends on the context. And of course, the type of collar you wear in different public spaces will depend on how comfortable you feel with the context. So I'll get onto the different types of collars in a moment, but that's just something to bear in mind, that you will likely wear different collars in different spaces to symbolise different things or to mean different things. But aside from the symbolism, which is a huge part of it, practicality does come into it as well, because, you know, collars can be really versatile tools within play. Many of them come equipped with O-rings or D-rings, which allows them to be used for attaching to leads, to rope, to nipple clamps, or any other kind of toys or bondage. And, you know, these features make them perfect for things like pain play, physical restraint, and any other kind of play during BDSM scenes that you can think of, really. Collars are also often adjustable for comfort and adaptability during various types of play. Things like posture collars, which we'll explore further, they have practical uses in training submissives, both within and outside BDSM scenes. But not all collars are about symbolism or practicality. You know, some are worn purely for the pleasure of it. That's why decorative collars come in various materials and designs. Now, these don't tend to be as sturdy as play collars, but they do serve as, you know, good fashion accessories that can make you feel confident or empowered as a submissive. It might be to, you know, complete your outfit that you're wearing to a kink or fetish party, or it might just be something that you like to wear on a daily basis that looks pretty or looks good. So these collars can be worn during scenes or as an everyday kinky accessory outside of BDSM scenarios. And it makes perfect sense to me now that when I think back to when I was a goth as a teenager and I used to wear all kinds of studded dog collars, and even before that as a preteen, wearing those plastic elasticated 90s chokers. Clearly my submissive identity was forming at a young age. And so have a think back to who out of your friends or who at school wore those, and you may have just found out something new about them today. Okay, so let's talk about the different dynamics that collars can signify in the BDSM community. The first one is the 24/7 dynamic. Now, we've talked about 24/7 dynamics before. If you're unfamiliar with what this means, then you can go back to one of my previous episodes where I talk about 24/7 dynamics and my interpretation of that. But wearing a collar within a 24/7 power play relationship means that both partners are committed to that full-time dynamic, whatever that full-time means to you. And the second type of dynamic a collar can symbolise is the collar on, collar off, or the what we call the bedroom only dynamic. So this is more casual BDSM relationships where you are maybe only playing during a certain period of time, typically whenever you're in the bedroom, which is why we say bedroom only. So these collars can serve as a symbol of when the play scenes begin and end. This really helps part-time submissives get into the right mindset, and it really restricts that dynamic to when you're wearing the collar. So when you're wearing the collar, you go into your submissive identity, your submissive headspace, and when it comes off, you go back to being you. And that can be a really great way to help you get into that headspace and switch off from the outside world, and a really good way to put some physical boundaries in place between you and your dom so that you know when the rules or the play or whatever else you have in force in your dynamic, you know when it's acceptable to do those things and when it's not. So those are typically the two styles of dynamics that collars can assist with. But of course, if your dynamic doesn't feel like it fits into one of those categories, perhaps it fits in somewhere in between or a bit of both, which is absolutely fine. I haven't mentioned total power exchange, but that is another style of dynamic that you might engage in which case you're most likely to have a collar on permanently, and we'll get to those types of collars in a moment. But yes, don't feel like you have to fit your dynamic into one of these boxes. It can absolutely be a sort of grey area that fits between one or two of them or more. But it's safe to say that whatever style of dynamic you have, collaring can be a really significant part of your dynamic, and it's something that you can introduce at any time to your dynamic. And the journey of collaring often involves many different stages, you know, much like a relationship evolving over time. So within your exploration of BDSM, you may wish to explore each of the stages, or you may skip to a particular stage if you're already in an established dynamic but have not yet explored collaring. So I'll go through some of the different stages. So don't worry if you've kind of moved past one of them already. It doesn't mean that you've missed a part and that you have to go back. It just means that you can start sort of later on down the line. So the first stage is called consideration. So consideration collars are sort of the initial step indicating that the dom is considering this sub for a permanent collar. So this is a chance where partners get to know each other through play, communication and negotiation, and they can have that collar in place, a sort of a temporary collar that symbolises you're working towards a full-time commitment. So perhaps you're still figuring each other out, perhaps there's some training elements that you want to engage in, and that could be just part of the planned out dynamic. You know, perhaps you're wanting to engage in a phase of training in which you are considering your submissive for the full-time position. And so as you go through the consideration stage, you can then transition into the training stage. So if the consideration process goes well, a dom may exchange the consideration collar for a training collar. So this might be similar to an engagement ring. This stage allows partners to deepen their emotional connection and learn any routines or protocols that might be required later on down the line. Now, training collars might actually look slightly different to consideration collars because they might have a specific purpose within training. Training collars tend to be quite stiff collars that keep you in a specific posture. And I'll get onto that in a little moment, but you'll notice that within these different stages, you can also incorporate different styles of collar as well. And then the third stage would be a formal or a full collar. So this collar is equivalent to a wedding ring, essentially. You know, it symbolises a long-term commitment. Formal collars are typically worn permanently and often lead to collaring ceremonies to celebrate the event. So it can be a really significant moment for a couple or for two people that are entering into a long-term dynamic. Again, this doesn't have to mean that you need to be in a romantic relationship. It could be just a play dynamic, but you are committing to a long-term dynamic with that person. So as I said, you absolutely don't have to follow this protocol or these stages if that doesn't feel aligned to you. For example, I have a permanent collar that I wear, so you could call this a formal or a full collar. And, you know, I consider myself to be in a 24/7 dynamic, but we're not practicing BDSM all the time. Again, this goes back to my own interpretation of what 24/7 means. That fits within our lifestyle and when we're able to play. Now, me and my partner are in a romantic relationship. We are engaged to be married, but I actually got my permanent collar before I got my engagement ring. And it was just a really nice symbol of commitment. So I wear that every day. And before that, I had, I guess, a less formal collar, which was more like a play collar that we would use during scenes or when we're going out to play parties or things like that. And I still have that collar and I will still wear that sometimes if we're going to parties or playing, because the permanent collar that I wear is basically just a necklace, and I'll get onto more of that in a moment. So yeah, I have lots of different styles of collar. So all of these stages that you go through, consideration, training, formal collaring, that doesn't mean that you have to then get rid of one collar and replace it with another. You can still have all of these different collars that you can use in different contexts. So I just want you to remember that collaring doesn't have to mean you need to be engaging in power play or kink all of the time, but it can be used as an addition to whatever lifestyle and kink schedule you're able to commit to. So with that being said, let's go to the various types of collars that you can consider. So the first one I'm going to tell you about is day collars or discreet collars. So these are discreet and comfortable for everyday wear. So while they might look like regular chains or chokers to outsiders, the wearer and their partner understand the true meaning of it. Now, you can actually have a look for day collars on websites such as Etsy, which is where I got my day collar, or you can simply shop for a necklace or choker that suits you and give it that symbolism yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be specifically designed for BDSM, because it can just be a necklace, something pretty that you like. The second type of collar is the play collar. So these collars are designed for rough play. You know, they're sturdier, they're often made from materials like leather or metal. They may feature rings for attaching leads or gear and can be fastened with buckles, locks, Velcro or studs. Now, me and my partner actually recently invested in a stainless steel collar, which is not only beautiful, but it's incredibly functional too, not to mention super heavy. So it feels really nice and weighty around my neck, and it locks permanently as well. So my partner has to take it on and off for me. Now, we actually got ours from a brand called Him and Her Erotic Steel. This is a brand created by Edward Green, who is a big supporter of my work and I of his, and he has a beautiful range of stainless steel collars, cuffs and other toys that come beautifully presented in carry cases, making it easy to look after them and carry around with you. And the brand actually relates to the characters in his erotic novels, which is why it's called Him and Her Erotic Steel. However, there are unbranded gender-neutral collars available to suit everyone's dynamic style and preference. And I really love that these can be worn for style, symbolism, and functionality. So I will pop the link in the show notes for you if you're curious to know more about those. And I will be wearing mine at my upcoming Halloween event if you'd like to come and speak to me and have a look at it and, yeah, see what it looks like. So the third style of collar is a posture or a pain collar. So typically posture collars are rigid and tall and they're designed to correct a sub's posture or train them to be in various positions. Pain play collars such as shock collars or prong collars serve as a form of punishment or tools to enforce a sub's position. So if you are into the sadomasochistic side of BDSM, then those would definitely be of interest to you. And you can get these from many sex toy stores such as Ann Summers, Honor or Bondara. So you just need to type in training collar and see what you find. Some websites will have more of the sadomasochistic ones than others, but have a little look around and see what you can find because there's lots of different styles out there to suit your needs. And then the third type of collar is the permanent collars. Now, of course, any of the other collars can be permanent collars. And these permanent collars are usually locked by a padlock or via screws. The stainless steel one that I have is locked by like an Allen key style tool, and this ensures that only the dom can unlock it. So you would have to ask permission for them to take it off or to put it on. And they can resemble typical collars or have a subtler design, similar to day collars. As I mentioned, those of you who've met me will probably have seen my teeny tiny silver padlock chain that I wear. Now, this is actually permanently locked. It doesn't have a clasp, so it can only be removed by my partner. It's surprisingly durable, and I wear it all day, every day, to the gym, in the shower, everything. The only time I take it off is to clean it, and that is with permission, of course. And so with any of those collars that you may choose to invest in, you can also make them super personal, so you may want to get them engraved with initials, names, dates, or other special phrases, and that just makes it a lot more personal and a lot more meaningful. And so it really does come back down to the meaning behind the collars being sort of the overarching theme and the reason why we have them within BDSM dynamics, because it is a nice both physical and psychological symbol of your commitment, of your submissive identity, of your submissive role. And not just for the submissive either, but for the dominant to give that to their partner is their sign of commitment, and it makes them proud to see their partner wearing that so proudly. And so it really does just bring you closer together. But if you're sitting here thinking, oh, but I really just don't like collars, you know, for whatever reason, collars aren't the only way to express commitment or connection in BDSM. So Perhaps you just don't like necklaces or having things around your neck in general, in which case some subs can opt for alternatives. You know, that could be due to safety concerns, privacy issues, sensory preferences, personal choice, whatever it may be. But these alternatives, you know, they can include bracelets, anklets, rings, because they all carry the same significance as a collar, because you're giving them that meaning. And in more extreme dynamics, you know, more committed dynamics, you may even want to get body modifications, such as a tattoo or a piercing, instead of getting collared, if that feels right for you. As with anything within BDSM, before embracing a collar, do take the time to do research and select one that is the style and type of collar that best suits you and your personal BDSM dynamic and journey. And you can talk about the meaning behind that with your partner before you go through the collaring process. What does it mean to you? Because it also might have different meanings to the both of you, and it's really important to get clear on that. And it can be a lovely thing to do together to signify the evolution of your dynamic. And then you can even create a ritual for putting that collar on that can be a significant and intimate process that can bring you closer together. So whether you're new to BDSM or a seasoned kinkster, enjoy this process and most importantly, make it unique to you. I will pop the link to the collars that I've mentioned in the show notes. And as always, if you have any questions, then please feel free to email me. My inbox is always open for you. And before we end today's episode, if you are exploring power play dynamics with a partner and you'd like to take some time to connect more deeply, then I just want to take a moment to tell you about our upcoming couples retreat in April next year. So Carlos and I will be hosting 3 days in Costa Blanca, Spain, for 8 couples who want to explore power play dynamics and deepen their connection. We'll be staying in a beautiful villa in the mountains and we'll spend our days doing practical kinky workshops, enjoying enriching group discussions, indulging in delicious food and drink cooked by our private chef, and relaxing with evening group and couples activities. Each couple will also get one-to-one coaching from myself during the stay, and of course, insight into the lifestyle of a real 24/7 dom and sub. So this will be a great opportunity to pick our brains, get your questions answered, and connect more deeply with your partner, all while enjoying the Spanish sun. So whether you are new to exploring BDSM and power play, or you have been doing it for a while, I promise you, you'll leave this retreat feeling refreshed, connected, and clearer in your vision for your kinky lifestyle. So if you'd like to find out more about that, head over to my website. Again, I'll pop the link in the show notes. And if you have any questions before you book, you can always book in a call with me to discuss any questions that you may have. That's all for today's episode of Bonding. Thank you so much for joining me, and remember to stay safe, communicate openly, and keep exploring your unique journey in BDSM. Until next time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. And if you want to continue to consciously explore your kinks, be sure to check out my upcoming workshops and events at subinthecity.com/events, or book your one-to-one BDSM exploratory session with me today at subinthecity.com/booking.